I'm glad that you've chosen to listen to our messages from the Presbyterian Church of Barnet. I'm Howard Gaston, the pastor, and I believe that God's Spirit will speak to you during this time.
Today, our scripture lesson is taken from Matthew chapter 2, and it is a part of the Magi coming to see Jesus and how they worshiped him and the gifts they brought him. It's beginning with chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, and then we'll continue on through 9 and 12. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterward, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were. What joy was theirs. It went ahead of them until it stopped over a place where the child was. They went in the house, and when they saw the child with the mother, Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and presented them to him. And they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. Amen. I don't know if any of you recall a TV special called, I think it's Amal and the Night Visitors. It was an opera. I've never seen it, so I'm not sure if I should be talking about it because I've never seen it. But the way I understand it is a fascinating story that was made up, of course, but it's a story about these three strangers who come to this widow's house with a crippled son, and she sees their treasures that they have and steals the gold from them. And then when she finds out what the gold was for, she returns the gold back to these visitors, and her son, Amal, who is crippled, then says, "Will you take my crutch and give it to this prince?" And when he gives the crutch to these visitors, he is immediately healed and then begs his mother to go with these visitors to see this prince. Well, it is a story about the Magi coming to see the Christ child and taking a break at this widow's house. And it's kind of a neat little story, but it's also, for me, one of the things I drew out of it, which, just to warn you, I won't be doing this Christmas Eve because there's too much singing on it next year, okay? We're not doing it. But in this story, it has this idea of this gift giving and the power in the gift when we give it to others. And sometimes also the power in gifts that we don't really think are good gifts. For many of us, we love good gifts. I mean, how many of you were excited Christmas morning, no matter how old you were, you know, to see those packages and unwrap those packages and get a surprise, a gift that maybe wasn't on your list, a gift that you hadn't even heard, and all of a sudden when you open it up, like, that's cool, that's a great idea. And it necessarily didn't have to be an expensive gift or a fancy gift, but something that you knew somebody thought of you on a special level to give you that particular gift. We love those gifts. But what about the quote-unquote bad gifts? The bad gifts that we receive in our lives. And I'm not talking about an ugly shirt or a sweater that you got this Christmas. But those gifts that we don't want, or we don't think we just want at all. The negative, the contrary to the good things in life. We rate the year based on how many good gifts we received and how many bad gifts we received. If we had more bad gifts, then it was a bad year. And actually, it's interesting when you sit down and talk to somebody when they say, "Oh, last year was such a bad year." Well, why? And they might bring up one thing when they had 95 great things that happened in their lives. Kind of is what we focus on. The Magi in our story in the Bible brought three particular gifts. In the fictional story that I talked about, Amal gives the king, Jesus, prince, or this crutch. It was not a good gift to him. It was not a gift that he wanted, but he gave this crutch, in a sense, to his Lord, and he was healed. The Magi gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Impressive gifts, unless you begin to really think about them. And you've probably heard this many times, but, you know, gold is representative of his kingship. The frankincense was the idea. It's an incense, so it was symbolic of his priesthood. And myrrh, symbolic of his death. Now, think about that. At Christmas time, what if you received three great gifts? Got a lot of money. That'd be exciting. And then somebody gave you an ancestry DNA test that showed that you were directly related to the Queen of England. That'd be pretty cool. And then they gave you paperwork for a DNR, do not resuscitate. You'd think something was up, okay? It would not be like, you would focus on that last gift, like, why did you give me this gift? Well, that was, in a sense, what the Magi gave to Mary and Joseph for Jesus. They gave him money. They gave him a part of who he was as a priest, you know, in that frankincense. But he also gave him the symbol of death. That's pretty heavy. It's pretty severe. That is good gifts and this seemingly bad gift. Even when Mary and Joseph go to the temple and dedicate the baby Jesus with his circumcision, there's Simeon who he sees the child and he begins to rejoice and thank God that God has finally showed to him the Messiah of the nation and he can now die because his life has meaning. He has seen the Messiah. And then he turns to Mary and says, this child will be the devastation of Israel and will die by the sword. Good news and bad news. And yet, they're not really, shouldn't be calling it bad news. You and I receive gifts after gifts in our lives that are categorized in that way, but yet are not really valued in that way. Just because we receive something that we did not really want or like doesn't mean that it was really bad. And in turn, that bad news may lead us, I believe, into really good news. For example, we all want the gift of love in our lives. But we don't want the gift of hate. When we think about hate, we don't know. But how many times can hate lead us to love? The desire of hate push us to truly love one another. When we see hate around us and in the world, how does it motivate us then to love? So while it's not something that we cherish or something that we want all the time, it can be something that moves us from one place to another to cherish the real gift that God has for us. So in the past, I've given you gifts on a piece of card that had, you know, inspirational things like energy and fellowship and trust. And these were kind of gifts for the coming year, for you to reflect on and to pray about how God will give you these gifts in the coming year, and we've done that before. Well, this year, I'm going to give you also idleness and opposition and misdirection and selfishness and uncertainty. And each gift has the opposite, endurance to idleness. And what I want you to do this coming year is to reflect on how these gifts and how the opposite, the bad and the good gift, have a way of actually bringing about the gifts. Because I think sometimes we negate what, and I'm not picking out and saying, okay, Kristen needs this one. Just randomly, and I shuffled them and all that kind of stuff. But for you to reflect on the good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, yeah, that's for next week's sermon. Yankee swap next. Yeah, there we go. There's always somebody thinking. There's three in about that. Friendship, yep. Now, what's the opposite of friendship is loneliness, but yet sometimes our loneliness motivates us to seek out friends. Hold on, I'll get you one. Here, you want to pick one? There you go. I'm not skipping her, Al. Here, Chloe, give this to your grandma and grandpa. Charlie, did you get one?
No.
Okay. I think I got everybody. So take that gift and reflect on how, again, the Magi came with gifts of gold and frankincense, but also the gift of myrrh. That, again, in John and in Mark, we're reminded that when Jesus died, Nicodemus and Joseph bought like 75 pounds of myrrh and ointment to bury Jesus in. So we have these good gifts and bad gifts, and maybe the gifts you have this on that sheet can be a good and bad gift that you will encounter this coming year, and you'll be able to see, I think, God's blessing and even in both of those as you continue to live out his faith. Let's pray. Almighty God, we come before you today as we have received many gifts, gifts that we have loved and gifts that we were surprised by. And maybe even gifts that we kind of scratched our heads about and not sure what we were going to do with them. But Lord, in our spiritual lives and in the encounters that we have and living out our faith each day, there are always these good and what we would call bad gifts, things that we want, things that we don't want in the coming year. And yet through your Spirit, you certainly can make all things good. And so, Lord, we pray that as we struggle, we will rejoice in your name. As we find pleasure and blessings, we will continue to rejoice in your name in this coming year. We thank you for all your good gifts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, would you turn with me and let's stand and affirm our faith in our God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of sins, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Well, I hope these messages have been a blessing to you for your life. And if you need any more assistance, be sure to contact the Presbyterian Church of Barnet in Vermont. Thank you.